So a reading from the book of Daniel, beginning in the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 6. So the presidents and satraps conspired and came to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever prays to anyone, divine or human, for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the interdict and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and interdict. Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room open toward Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees 3 times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously. The conspirators came and found Daniel praying and seeking mercy before his God. Then they approached the king and said concerning the interdict, "O king, did you not sign an interdict that anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into a den of lions?" The king answered, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they responded to the king, "Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the interdict you have signed, but he is saying his prayers 3 times a day." When the king heard the charge, he was very much distressed. He was determined to save Daniel, and until the sun went down, he made every effort to rescue him. Then the conspirators came to the king and said to him, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you." A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No food was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then, at break of day, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel then said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. The king gave a command, and those who had accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples and nations of every language throughout the whole world, "May you have abundant prosperity. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." The word of our Lord. Well, grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. Well, one day last week, just before leaving my home to come to work, I received a phone call from my bank saying that they had detected fraudulent activity on my debit card. Of course, I immediately had that sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach and then listened as the bank official disclosed the amounts and where the transactions had occurred. Someone in Marysville, Tennessee, was having a good time at a Walmart, a convenience store, and at a gas station. They attempted a fourth purchase, but the card was declined before that happened. I was assured that I would not be responsible for the charges and that a fraud report would be issued immediately. And in addition, certainly a new card would be on its way. Well, as I adjusted to the news that this had just happened to me, I felt so angry. Angry that I had been a victim, robbed not only of my money, but also of my personal identity. But I was also fearful of what other information these criminals might have on me. Was I being watched? Did they know where I live? How did this happen? Was I to blame? Had I been too careless with my credit card? Well, Daniel, the prophet that we meet in today's scripture, knew firsthand what it felt like to be a victim of a horrible, ruthless scam, one that was meant to have him killed. A Jewish prophet, Daniel, had, along with his people, been taken captive, exiled in Babylonia, a terrible, ugly place where idolatry, corruption, and all things evil were certainly the norm. It was a place of severe oppression and hostility for the Jewish people, a place where they would not have been able to read the Torah, to keep the commandment, and to honor the Sabbath. But that didn't stop Daniel at all from worshiping God, the one true God, whom he knew. And so Daniel does what any faithful, God-fearing person does. He prays 3 times a day, asking God to set his people free from the yoke of slavery and allow them to return to Jerusalem, their home. And despite living in exile, Daniel also served the king so faithfully and did his work so well that the king was willing to appoint him as governor over the whole entire kingdom. Well, that just infuriated the natives even more. They were jealous, envious, and so they thought, we've got to stop that plan. This can't happen. He can't rise above us. But the only complaint they could find against him was that he worshiped God, the one true God, not their many false gods, their idols. So they get the king to issue a decree that says anyone who does not worship the king and only the king for 30 days must be thrown into the lion's den where he or she will certainly face death. Well, Daniel still does not hide the fact that he prays 3 times a day on his knees in his room in his house with open windows facing Jerusalem. The conspirators and everybody else can see this, and so they report it to the king, and they remind him of the rule that he has made, and that rules are rules, and they can't be changed. You signed it, they said. So there's the king, Daniel's friend, who had been tricked and trapped by his own decree. He'd love to save Daniel, but he feels that his hands are tied by the conspirators. So Daniel is thrown into the den, the stone is placed over the opening, and the king says to Daniel, may your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you. And then he walks away. I'm not sure what you are feeling at this point in the story, but it takes me right back to my childhood when my older brother, 8 years older than I am, in a game of cops and robbers, would handcuff me, put me in my parents' closet, and then hold the door closed as if he had locked it, all the while I am in the closet screaming, help, let me out of here, Mom! I was terrified of the dark, and I was afraid no one would hear my cries and come to my rescue. In those few minutes that seemed to me like hours, I was afraid I would suffocate and die. To me, there is nothing worse than feeling trapped. And as I told the congregation at 8:30, I will be cremated. If I die, just know that. Cremate me. Do not stuff me in a box and close the lid. I don't want to be there again. Of course, this was a game. It was a child's game, child's play. Not nice child's play, but still pretend and make believe. But as I grew up and as I grew older, I knew that there were real threats and real fears in life. It's part of life. It's part of the world we live in. And don't we know that now? I cannot help but think of three women, the three women who were kidnapped, oh gosh, I think it was like in 2003, and were held captive in the basement of Ariel Castro's home for 10 long years, where they suffered abuse, torture. They were chained to the walls, to the furniture. They could not get outside at all. They were raped. One of them even became pregnant and gave birth to a child. And that child never even saw the light of day for 7 years. What that hell must have been like. Yet to hear their stories, one realizes that they never, ever, in the midst of all of that, gave up hope of being found, of being rescued and set free. Their story is told in the book Hope, a memoir of survival in Cleveland. And I have not read it yet in its entirety. I'm not sure that I can. But the story of Daniel raises questions for us. What holds you captive? Where do you feel trapped? What is your den? What are, who are the lions in your life? Those people are the people, the things, the ideas, the beliefs, the fears who threaten your identity, your health, your well-being, your relationships, your wealth, your future. Do we feed them? What do we feed them to keep them hanging around? How do we tame them? Can we tame them? I have a young friend who lives in the den of infertility. For 7 years, she and her husband have been trying to conceive a child, and she fears that she will never know the joy of experiencing pregnancy or giving birth or raising a child in this world. Still, she prays, she waits, and she hopes. And though she has yet to conceive, God has answered her prayers for now in a very different way. As a former cardiac nurse, she has now been given the green light to transfer to a postpartum unit where she will be working with mothers and their newborns. And she is overjoyed. Living in a den of addiction, my sister's friend's son, Greg, has just entered Faith Farms in Florida, where he will hopefully become and stay sober for the rest of his life. Doctors have told him that this is his last hope. His parents wait, and in their waiting, they wait for their son to enter recovery and for that damaged liver to begin healing. And they pray that Greg's two teenage sons will someday forgive him for being absent for most of their lives. We pray, and we wait, and we hope. And we never know, do we, how our prayers will be answered. We don't know why some prayers are answered in our favor and some are not. All we can do is point to the God who has promised to be with us, Emmanuel, and know that in his presence, whatever, wherever our fate and outcome, that God's presence with us, in us, is enough. Yes, God answers our prayers in strange ways. Ways sometimes. Daniel was not miraculously removed from the den. He stayed in that den. But God was there with him in the den, and God protected him by sealing the mouths of the lions. Last night I had stopped to get gas in my car, and on the way home I was thinking about the credit card fraud and everything, and I thought, I wonder if my card was safe at the gas station where I just used it. But then a very funny thing happened in that I found myself praying for the criminals. And I thought, well, that's really strange. That's not usually what I do. But I know that that prayer came from the Spirit, that was totally outside of me. And I began to think, you know, were they at the convenience store where they needed food for their family? What was going on in their lives? And so sometimes God changes us and the way we pray. We think we might be praying for ourselves or others, but but God knows exactly what we need, and God can work in mysterious ways. Advent is a time of darkness and waiting and preparing for the one who came and promises to come again, to rescue us from all that threatens to devour us, from our fears that paralyze us, and from our sin that destroys us. It is time to bravely enter into the dark, even befriend it if we will, knowing that the light of Christ entered into the darkness, and even then, the darkness did not overcome it. No, perhaps like the stars in the night, it is in that very darkness where God's light is most brilliant and visible. And perhaps in that place of darkness, seeds of faith germinate, take root, and even grow. You see, it was through fervent, faithful, and courageous prayer that Daniel had entered into a lifelong relationship with God. But notice that that alone did not spare Daniel from experiencing pain and suffering in his life. Rather, it was because Daniel believed and trusted that God was with him that God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And as a result, not only was Daniel's life spared, but the king decreed then that all people in all nations shall bow down and worship the one true God, the God of Daniel. Daniel's testimony changed the heart of an earthly king, and that change affected the world. So how might our testimonies positively change the world we live in today? We pray, and we hope, and we wait. Both Daniel and Jesus knew what it was like to be unjustly accused, to be trapped, and sentenced to death. Yet Jesus died, and his body was placed in a cave with a stone sealing the entrance. But Daniel entered the cave, a lion's den, alive, but it was a stone that prevented him from escaping. Both prayed to God in the midst of their darkest nights, and God heard their prayers, just as that very same God hears our prayers and draws near to us. As we pray, we wait, and we hope. This week, as you wait and prepare for the coming of Christ, I pray that hope will be reborn in your hearts. And I'd like to close now with a prayer by one of my favorite authors, Joyce Rupp. In her book, The Circle of Life, she offers this prayer. Oh God, in the quiet darkness of this moment, we search for the sacred light that shines on in our darkness. Just as we find this light in you, oh God, help us understand that deep in the recesses of our souls, light shines. Thank you for all the things that grow in the darkness. To find the light, we must go into it. So go with us into all of the dark places we must travel. Take away our fear of darkness. Be a lantern for us, that we may be lanterns for one another. Amen.